20, vision, right? Perfect vision. We would talk about a little bit of that vision that you have that says we look backward. If you saw in the front of your bulletins, I love that image of the one side rear, the passenger rear. I think it says something about
objects may be closer than they appear.
Yeah.
Oops, yeah, that's that. That's, yeah.
You ever hit anything like that?
Yes.
So what we decided to do was this week we'll take that look a little bit backward, and it does have something to do with peace, which is our Advent of today. In other words, we're waiting for peace. And then next week we'll do that kind of look forward a little bit that says, okay, so now that we know a little bit about our past, what do we do with that? And what do we make of our lives?
Is your mic on?
Now it is. I was talking really loud.
I know. It was really good. I had no problem.
No wonder everybody's like looking at me going,
what's he saying?
Gee whiz.
Okay.
Should I start over it? No.
Oh, look, just look back and remember. No, okay. That's the other part. Okay.
So we're going to do a little bit of dialoguing about that. And before we start, do you guys have that video? We're going to play a song. This song was written by Bono of U2. And when we were talking about this look backward and peace, this song came to us and we kind of went, whoa. Mm. So I want you to read the lyrics, listen to the song. It's a very critical song. In fact, some people were saying that it was very bitter. And again, I know we're in Advent, we're supposed to be joyful and so forth, but that look back also says we need to understand where we are and where we came from. So I want you to listen to this song.
And use them on our enemies. You say that what you want will surely overtake you, and you become a monster, so the monster will not break you. And it's already gone too far. You said that if you go in high, you won't get hurt.
I'll give you a little background on that one. Bono was born in Northern Ireland, and when he was about the time he wrote this song, there was a concerted effort for a peace plan in Northern Ireland between the Catholics and the Protestants. And in order to thwart peace, one particular group drove a car bomb into a crowded area where people were out shopping for Christmas and blew it up. In order to stop peace. That's what hit Bono so hard. That whole concept that looking forward, the only way you can do is look back at hatred and anger that was and continue it.
So, this past year, or I would say the past, you know, our lifetimes, we know that when we read in the Bible, especially the Jewish Bible, some people call it the Old Testament, we've always been at war. There's never been a time on this earth where we have not been in the midst of oppression. So when we talk about peace on earth, let's talk about what peace really means. Now, peace in our household may be when the children are running around and they're getting all noisy. It's like, shh, quiet, quiet, peace and quiet. So some people would relate and say peace is silence.
Silence.
True peace comes from another word that we hear within church language, and we also see it in newspapers, and we hear it on news stories. It's that word that says justice. Justice makes peace.
Do you know what the end of a spear looks like? Okay, pointed, right? Very sharp. Meant to penetrate and to cut and to keep you away from me. A pruning hook is bent over, hooked around. We have all the fancy ones. I've got the one that's like, I don't know, 18 feet long. It's got the rope with it, and you hook it over top, mm-hmm. And you cut it off, and it goes down. They didn't have that stuff. They would take the spears and they would bend the tips. They would heat them and bend them around to a hook and flatten the top out so it's thick and strong. Sharpen the underside again. And you reach up with that and you hook a branch and you trim it so that there is more fruit. So that there is more accessible fruit. So that the tree brings its fruit to the people. So instead of keeping people away, you bring people close. The concept of beating their spears into pruning hooks is something you do together. You don't do that apart. Plowshares, most of us don't know. The plowshare was the metal part that was added in the Bronze Age to the wooden plow that would make the dirt roll, would break the ground and make it go. And if you take a sword, there's enough steel there to make that for the end of that. But if I'm using it to tear the ground up, I'm not using it to tear my neighbors up. The concept of peace that Isaiah talks about requires justice, mm-hmm. requires communication, requires listening to each other. We cry for peace on earth and we think of angels and we look at the top of our trees and they are incredible, and that's cool. Peace on earth, okay. Do you just go home though and take it off like a Sunday coat and put it away and then have no peace? Do you cry peace, peace where there is no peace? You haven't got time to throw a drowning man a line, Peace.
So peace becomes an idea, but it takes action. You can't make that pruning hook without applying some work to it. You have to want to do peace. Peace is not just given to us, it's a part of how we live, and it's a part of how this Advent tells us to focus on that. Because the peace for one of us, any individual, is based on the relationship that you have with those around you. You create peace. You create peace by listening to others. You create peace by being open to others. Knowing that there's no difference in what real peace is about. And I said before about oppression, if you think about it, the reason that there's typically war is that someone decides that they have more power and more influence, and it's my way. That creates conflict.
Conflict.
Wars. So, for example, the church itself, can you remember or even think about our time now where we claim that we are right? And then we use our power to push others around to say, if you don't think of it the way I think of it, then I guess we're at war. You don't like the way I did that, but it's my place. So now you have to do it my way, and that's my peace. But guess what? It's not peace for the other one. Sometimes we think because we're so dominant that because we can hear no noise and everything just seems perfect to us that we've created peace. But at what cost? What did it cost us, and where did we place the other in that action? Peace is hard.
I have to thank Lynn. You picked that Emmanuel. There is an incredible phrase in there where it defines Emmanuel for us. You all know that Emmanuel is God with us. We learned that from time until we're little kids on, we know. But it talks in that beautiful little hymn about the fact that Emmanuel is God being seen in us. That we become the presence of God in the world. We become the peace on earth. And Emmanuel, God with us in Christ, is not that he just shows up for Christmas, gets up and waves as a little baby, and then leaves until Easter. It is that he's with us constantly, in us. And that peace that we're talking about here that grows when we treat each other justly, when we look at those things. You know, the prophets talk about what does God want? Nothing much. That we treat each other justly, that we walk humbly with God, and that we do what God asks us to do. Not too much. Live in peace. Mm-hmm. And come to the mountain of God together. That's the one word that's left out but is completely underlined in everything of that passage. The nations will come to the mountain of God, and they will say, come, let us go to the mountain of God. No one uses the word together, but it's just simply understood. You don't walk up on opposite sides of the aisle. You don't walk up and not talk to each other. You don't walk up and go, hi, and then walk away. That's not what that passage is about. The peace is letting God live in us in what we do so that everyone will walk with us comfortably. You know, it's kind of like that really hokey commercial where the guy's running through the mall trying to get everybody to go to TJ Maxx. And he's smiling at everybody. Oh, let's go with him. That's fine. It's not that. That's the easy way to try to make it sell. It means when I look at you and I understand that you and I do not always agree, but I love you more than the disagreement. Because God loves me more than the disagreements I have with him. And so I will walk in peace with you and learn from you and listen to you and ask only that you will do that with me.
The significance of lighting that first candle as peace. We know that Jesus came to the world as the light. So we illuminate that first one that says, why? Why did God feel that God needed to be in human presence with us? He wanted to shed light on a world that was not peaceful. And wanted to say, okay, remember who you are. Remember whose you are, and remember that you are here for each other, just as I am now going to appear to you. And above all, make room. Make room for that peace within you that says you are ready and willing to push that forward. It's a call. It's a call to each one of us to look around us and say, where do we create peace? How can we create peace? It's not that hard. One of the big things is pride. Sometimes you just gotta say, okay, it's your way. I'm okay with that. So again, peace. The song that you saw, he was frustrated that we talk about it, but we don't live it.
In everything you do, you are that line that Jesus throws to the man who's drowning. We ask you to think about looking through a rearview mirror. If you're driving at night and you're driving across the UP and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, when a light appears in your rearview mirror, you know, huh? Where'd that come from? You recognize it. And you spend more time looking at it than you think. Looking into our past, there are all times in our lives that are lights for us. Why do you think you folks stop at that little tree back there and take things off and give it to other people? Because somewhere along the line, somebody gave you something and you know how good it feels. And just for once, you'd like to look back and go back to that moment and have that good feeling all over again because you know you gave it to somebody else. Isn't it strange how small our rearview mirrors are? You can't get very far going forward looking back. It doesn't work. You can't forget what's back there and what was, but you can't stay there either. So we may not always have been the greatest of peaceful people. But that doesn't mean that we're there forever. The change of the presence of Christ brings peace on earth. I think the greatest story of peace on earth and how difficult it is to achieve comes from December of 1915 on the Western Front. On that Christmas Eve, German, French, Belgian, Austrian soldiers and English soldiers all along the front on both sides on Christmas Eve stopped and they were singing Silent Night. They were singing Silent Night in 5 different languages. And and the sound of Silent Night in five different languages across the Western Front stopped the guns. They got up out of the trenches. They walked close together. They realized they weren't really that different. And what was done to fix things? The generals on both the Prussian-German side and the French side knew that if they let it go on, the war would not continue. So they fired mustard gas shells into the crowd at Christmas Eve to drive them back into the trenches on their own people, because they would rather have power than peace, because they would not listen. Our responsibility is to not be the shell lobbers. We need to be the peace on earth. For all times I have not been peace in your lives, I apologize. For all the times that I could have done better at being the presence of Emmanuel and didn't, I look back in that rearview mirror and I say, forgive me. But I promise you, I will go forward trying to be that rope thrown to the drowning man, trying to be the symbol of peace. Not for me. Not for me, but for a world that needs it.
Let us pray. Dear loving and forgiving God, we hear your call to peace. We hear what you've asked of us, each one of us as individuals, and each one of us as organizations that we belong to. May we find the direction that leads us to creating peace. And we should not be dismayed and think that our little bit of peace is not enough, because we know that we need to start. And we have to continue starting. We have to continue knowing where we were and where we want to be, which is in love. So we become the line that is thrown out for those who are hurt and suffering. And we become peace. Peace now, and peace as we move together into the future. Amen.
Amen. We'll gather our hearts.